WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Longtime columnist, community advocate, a voice for the voiceless. We're talking about Mary Mitchell. After 34 years, Mary's retiring from the Sun-Times, and she says she's ready for what the next stage of her life has in store. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. While she might be moving on, the impact of Mary Mitchell's words and her compassionate, driven spirit remain. Mary Mitchell joined me in the studio to reflect on her groundbreaking career, what she's learned about herself, and about Chicago. First, I wanted to know how she feels to embark on this big life transition. Here's Mary.
34 years, but I got to tell you, you know, when people say they just know, they know the moment that they decided to retire. I know what that feels like now. I knew this was it. This is something that I wanted to do.
Describe that feeling for me. How are you feeling right now?
Right now, I'm feeling like I'm learning everything new again, okay? Because I really wasn't into technology, but the first thing I had to do was go get a new cell phone and go get a new laptop and learn how to use it properly. No one's going to do that for me. So it's like discovering things all over again. And you know, you still have the same schedule. You get up in the morning. If you're used to getting up at 6, you get up at 6.
Yes.
But I'm more intentional now. I'm more intentional about exercise. I realize that I can't sit around all day, that my body is craving activities. And so it's going to be an experiment, really.
Yes, interesting. we'll dig more into that. You know what I loved, though? I loved looking at your most recent and last column. We'll talk about that, too.
Okay.
I loved the photos. I've got just a collage of photos of Mary Mitchell over the years. The hairstyles.
Wow. I know.
The glasses. No glasses. I guess contacts, maybe.
Right. Yes, contacts at that time.
But it was just a great look at just 34 years.
I know. And it went by so fast. I can remember the day one that I walked into the newsroom.
Really? What was that like?
I was so nervous. Well, first of all, when I got on the elevator, 401 North Wabash, that's now Trump Tower, but it was the Chicago Sun-Times, I got on the elevator and I had this calm. I had this sense of I belong, that this is where I'm supposed to be.
You were an intern then?
I was an intern, and I was the Sun-Times' oldest intern ever because I was already in my 40s when I decided to go back to school. And so when I walked in the newsroom, here are people that I got to see, people who I've been reading their bylines for years. You know, the Lynn Sweets of the world and the Tom McNamee and Don Hayner, my first writing partner, and Neil Steinberg, and all of these people, Maud Lineage-Jerica, they were all there, and I was just in awe. And I was in such awe, I could not stop stuttering. Anybody ask me a question? I didn't even know that I was a stutterer until then.
So on that day, you talk about that very first day as a Sun-Times intern, Mary Mitchell.
Yes.
Did you really think that you were going to stick with journalism for so long?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the so long. I mean, I think that this was, Chicago Sun-Times was like, it gave birth to me. It was like my home. And so I never thought about down the road. I never thought about that it would be over, that one day I would want to leave, that I would get tired of actually chasing down stories and calling people on the phone and trying to get people to talk to you and trying to develop sources. That's work. That's really hard
work. It sure is.
I don't think people realize how hard reporters work to get those stories. That story that's in the paper, they have worked really long and hard to get that story.
That exclusive scoop took a long time. Yes. So why don't we back up a little bit then, Mary, and talk about how you ended up here? Because from the sounds of it, journalism wasn't where you began. It wasn't always the plan, right? And after high school, I hear you were a legal secretary?
For almost 20 years.
I
worked for many of the major law firms, Winston Strong, Jenner & Block, Cat & Mutian. I mean, that was my job. I went to vocational high school and I took business training, secretarial practice, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the fastest typist in my class. And
okay.
I also could take shorthand.
Look at you.
That helped me in my career, you know, because everybody be struggling to write things down and I just go into my shorthand mode to get the job done.
So you were excelling. What made you eventually pivot to journalism?
Turned 41. And realized that I did not want to do this for the rest of my life. You know, if the only place to go was to be a lawyer and I wasn't going to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen enough about lawyers and law school that I didn't want part of it.
Yeah, I had a short moment, too, where I wanted to, to become a lawyer. And then I saw how long it would take to get there.
And then the bottom line is I grew up in Chicago and I grew up in a housing project.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood how difficult it is to be a single mother, but I was a single mother. And I did not want my kids to have to go through what I went through. I didn't want them to go through live in a neighborhood where they were bullied. I didn't want them to feel unsafe. I wanted to make sure that I gave them what I wish I had when I was growing up.
Yes.
So I went back to school because then I knew I have to have in order to have a career, I'd have to have a degree.
Mm.
And then I had applied for a supervisory job at a particular law firm, I won't name them, and got shut out. I mean, I wasn't given a chance. And I knew that I wasn't given a chance just because I was older and because this particular person wanted somebody young and bouncy and all of that.
Mm, okay.
And that's how I ended up going back to school. I went to Columbia College full time instead of just taking a class here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got bitten by the bug.
By the journalism bug.
Yes, yes.
You went from being an intern to a longtime columnist, editorial board member, and director of culture and community engagement. When you first took a step back from the Sun-Times. Now, this was in 2019. So we've been here before. You did a little semi-retirement.
I guess I did.
At one point.
And then people would say, well, what about that bogus retirement party you had?
Bogus. Well, they better throw you another one.
Yeah. So, but I really wanted to go then.
Yeah.
In 2019, I wanted to go, but then I was begged back, you know, and like that. Took one foot out and did it part-time. Instead of doing three columns a week, I would only do one. That really was a big difference. It's a big change for my readers.
It is.
They were used to seeing me every other day.
Yeah.
You know, I would be in the paper.
So now you're saying that you're going for good. I mean, is it hard to move on?
Very hard. Very difficult. And it's difficult because you get to enjoy colleagues. And the fact that there's work to be done. We live in a city where there's lots of work. There's no shortage of stories in this city.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about corruption or you're talking about crime or you're talking about development or you talk about all these things, there's enough stories for everyone to tell. But at the same time, I realized that I wasn't working as fast as I used to work. I wasn't meeting deadlines the way I used to meet deadlines. That ability to do that had its limits.
So you had to slow down.
Yes, I had to slow down. And I didn't want to, because nobody wants to admit they got to slow down. Think about President Joe Biden. Nobody wants to admit that, you know, maybe it's time for you to think about yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to take care of me.
Right.
Self-care.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Well, as you mentioned, politics, Mary, we've got an election coming up, right? A presidential election. And we know, as journalists, that can be a pretty exciting time in the newsroom. A lot of adrenaline. It's
right.
Stressful,
yes,
but it's also
it
exciting. Like, we crave it, right? So I wonder if you have thought about how you might feel.
Oh, I know how I might feel because this DNC was here.
Yep.
And the idea that I wasn't with that group of journalists.
Out there in the field.
I wasn't out there with Lynn Sweet and the rest of them, Fran Spielman,
right,
and, you know, all of these people that I was not going to be around. I had a twinge of regret, you know, in the pit of my stomach. I was like, what did you do?
You were thinking, perhaps,
yes,
I made a mistake?
Well,
I'm leaving too soon?
I was leaving at the timing was seemed to be off, okay? But then I realized, no, this is the right time. Let these young people, these young journalists, have their time. Let them be able to tell their stories. And let them be able to enjoy where they have arrived at in terms of being able to cover the DNC.
Yeah.
So I let go, you know, and I feel good about letting go.
You have talked about your mission in journalism as giving a voice to the voiceless, as I mentioned earlier. So talk to me more about what that means to you, Mary. What have you been hoping to create and change through your columns?
Well, you know, I learned a long time ago that first you go into this thing thinking you want to save the world, and then you want to save the state. You want to save the city. And pretty soon it's you want to save your own neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am right now. What it meant to me was that there would be a platform in the Chicago Sun-Times where people can have their voices heard. I mean, if something, for instance, I wrote a column, one of my favorites was about this young man whose parents, for no fault of his own, but his parents were unable to pay for his college. He got a scholarship, but they weren't able to pay for him to go away to this prestigious music school.
Yes.
And I wrote a column about it and introduced him to Chicago. And Chicago stepped up and they raised, I think we raised something like $30,000.
Wow.
And that was before GoFundMe. Those are the kind of stories that I got to tell. I got to tell stories where people who have been led astray or ignored or, you know, somehow cheated in this city, I gave them a place where they can tell their story and I can get that story out there because Chicago really cares. We hear from the people who are meanies and the haters, but there are a lot of loving people in Chicago.
Chicago has
and
such a rich history and culture, Mary. What are the causes that you have felt most called to speak up about?
I would say it's probably about domestic violence is one, and the killing and the murder of children.
Yeah,
the fact that one of the stories that is near and dear to my heart was a story about a 12-year-old girl, Serena Powell, who was shot and she was killed when a drug dealer sprayed her house with bullets because someone there, he allegedly had stolen some drugs from him. And I wrote a column that said she should have flowers. She should have flowers for graduation. She should, instead of us mourning, there should be flowers for her. And Chicago came out and they had flowers filled the funeral home.
My goodness.
It was such a powerful moment for me because I understood, that's when I learned there are good people in this city. This city is not all full of criminals and shooters and bad people. The majority of the people here are good, strong, loving, helpful people. And I had to learn that. I had to see that for myself.
After 34 years, you must have changed a lot, not just as a person, but as a journalist. I wonder if there's anything that you published that you wish you could take back.
Well, one of the things I published and I learned the hard way, in 1997, I decided to go to the Million Woman March. And I thought this was a great thing. The paper was all behind it. And, you know, it was a moment that I was going to tell this story. Yeah. And I got there and I could not get over the behavior of some of the people. We left the park in a total disarray. Garbage was everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a story that I was supposed to tell. That wasn't the point, you know? That's the story that I wrote. And when I got back home, I thought they were going to hang me in effigy for
oh no,
that story. If I could take one story back,
it would be that one. It would be that one. Mm-hmm. So you've said it, Mary. You're stepping into a new role, quote, a woman of leisure. So what does that look like? What is next?
I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I mean, there's certain things that I want to do. Like I want to be more proficient when it comes to technology because it's not going anywhere. And mm-hmm. I've learned that the hard way. I want to spend more time with my lovely granddaughter who's 17. And she will always in my mind be like 7 or 8 because I've been so busy with a career that I haven't spent a lot of time with her and mm-hmm. watching her grow and develop into a young woman. So I want to do that.
That's nice.
I got a stack of books, 3 bookcases full of books that I want to read because that is a thing that I think changed my life, the fact that I was a reader. And so all of these books are there, all these books of knowledge and fiction and nonfiction and autobiographies and biographies are there just for me.
But is there any chance that we might see you in the paper ever so often?
You know, they always put that out there that, you know, you can do occasional columns.
Yeah.
But I need time to just be done. I need time to just say goodbye to journalism and move on to the next phase of my life.
That's fair. That's fair. We've been speaking with Mary Mitchell, now former columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. Now, I will certainly miss having you on Reset. I loved your columns, but I'm not the only one who is going to miss you at Chicago Public Media.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Koh, executive editor of the Chicago Sun-Times.
My name is Angela Myers. I'm a digital copy editor.
I'm Ramana Hussein. I'm a columnist and a member of the editorial board.
My name is Tim Novak. I've worked with Mary for nearly 30 years.
What I'll miss most about Mary is just having that voice out there.
Always, you know, reporting truly for her community. You always knew that Mary was going to say what you were thinking. And sometimes... what you weren't thinking.
Mary has been someone that I had started reading when I was in college. And at the time, she was one of the few Black columnists at the Sun-Times.
She brought this perspective, this real care and curiosity in everything that she did. But most of all is her humanity and her empathy.
Her work ethic, her knowledge of the city.
Just her lively personality.
Friendship and her speaking up for other people who didn't have a voice.
I will really miss her, but I also plan on staying in touch.
Thank you for being here, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert Baer and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset's here to inform and take you around Chicago. If you're interested in hearing more, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.